Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the new moon on January 27th, 2017 at 7:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at 8 degrees Aquarius, 15. Swami will explain how to use the 28-day cycle of the moon to help generate a new beginning. Solution to anything begins with circumstances as they are. Listen as we discuss the use of tension and conflict as a springboard for change. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join our Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul to become the change you want to see, peace on the earth. All right, so Swami, let's get it all started. So explain to us how we use a 28-day cycle of the moon to help generate a new beginning.
Well, everything in life is cyclical. And when you're using the element of timing with anything, I think the astrological patterns that are created by the planets can kind of give us a way of breaking things down into these concentric circles. And so the moon is really the fastest moving, all of the celestial beings up there. And it's on a 28-day cycle, so it takes about 28 days for the moon to go 360 degrees, whereas it takes 365 days for the sun to do the same thing. And Mercury, of course, is the second fastest. But the thing is that when the sun and the moon are together, I think there that whole thing of the term Hatha Yoga means sun-moon union. The whole thing of matter and spirit coming together is really exactly what yoga is all about. It's all about this union of the individual with the divine. And so the moon really represents our essential needs. It represents our physical body. And the sun, of course, is the essence of life. It's the symbol for spirit, the life giver, or the tree of life, or the life force. And one of the things that we notice is that when the sun is shining, we don't see any of the other planets. So it is paramount. It is the one that sticks out the most. Using this new moon as kind of like a springboard for a new beginning, because it is the beginning of a new cycle. Now, granted that in 28 days, it'll be another new cycle, but that's the beauty of life, is that we're constantly getting a chance to start over. And taking advantage of these chances, these opportunities, is really what Kriya Yoga is all about.
Well, it's really interesting when you study, you know, any type of indigenous people, let's just say Native Americans for one, or the Eskimos or whoever, they work with their environment and they work with exactly what you're saying, the sun, the moon, the stars. And I think we have maybe kind of gotten away from that, you know, in our culture, in the United States anyway. And so to get back to working with the celestial bodies, how do we learn to embrace the teachings? Like, what's the first thing that you would recommend to somebody who's new to this? What do you think they should do on this new moon?
Well, just like anything, you have to have a plan. And otherwise, isn't that what they say in business? If you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. So the same is true with any new beginning. You really want to have some form of intention, some theme, or some goal that you want to try and accomplish. And then create the small steps that would enable you to complete what it is that you're trying to do. And I think this year particular new moon, because it is in Aquarius, it is in the sign of brotherly love kind of a thing. And like the theme said, that it brings friendship. So during a cycle like this, it really would be to our advantage to try and do something, maybe in a group setting, and maybe to involve others in what you're doing, or maybe even having a theme that isn't about personal interests, but for the betterment of a greater whole, that it might have the betterment of those that are around us, which is a great, it's a great way of getting ourselves out of ourselves. I think a lot of us sometimes we become too self-absorbed, that it's all about me instead of a sense of balance. That, yeah, it's you do have your essential needs and you have your wants, but we also have a collective purpose and attuning ourselves to something that gets us out of ourselves is a really a great motivator.
So in our summary of the show, I stated earlier, we have solution to anything begins with circumstances as they are. So let's break that down for our listeners. What do we mean by that?
Especially when you're looking at this particular chart and you see that there is a T-square between Mercury conjunct Pluto squaring Uranus and squaring Jupiter, which is opposing Uranus. So that should bring back a certain degree of tension and conflict for all of us. And that Mercury conjunct Pluto really will get us in touch with the darker side of life and maybe some of the aspects of our own personal makeup that we really might not like. And so oftentimes with a configuration like this, sometimes the way that these things present themselves is as unpleasant things start to happen to us from the outside. But as we know with our practice of Kriya Yoga, that it's our inner subjective state that creates this biomagnetic force field that causes the outside world to respond to us. So we're actually drawing in these circumstances, situations, and conditions to ourselves. And I think the insight that comes with a yoga practice can give you a starting point as to how to go about maybe affecting changes that you want to create.
Now, I know we've talked about, you know, things like this before in previous radio shows, that we are the creators of our own reality. And then what you're just saying, what's going on the inside of us internally is what's mirroring us on the outside, our external environment. So therefore, we have to have this awareness of what's going on. So if something is happening to us, whether we feel it's a positive or a negative, however we perceive it, we have to understand we're bringing it upon ourselves. So then how do we use this particular time frame, this new moon, to maybe make those kinds of changes.
Yeah, I think just by initiating it is the starting point of using this opportunity. And then being mindful of just what you said, that I'm creating my reality. Now, whether I'm doing it consciously or unconsciously or karmically, that is going to be determined by how much control that I'm actually able to demonstrate. Because the aspects that we seem to be happening to us, that we don't really seem to have any control over, those are the things that are unconscious or karmic. But the opportunity presents itself for us to be able to see these unconscious patterns and conditioned responses that we are generating, inner environment that is actually causing this external experience, circumstance, or situation.
So that could be a lot for somebody who's really new to this, new to yoga, and especially new to using this tool, to realize that it's really up to me to decide really what's going on in my outside world. I mean, essentially, because it doesn't come down to really how I think is what we become.
Yeah. And once you have that in place and you're approaching your life from that vantage point, then one of the things that it enables you to do is manage some of the unpleasant things that may happen to you. Because rather than feeling like a victim, what we have a tendency to do when you are taking responsibility for it is looking for meaning and purpose. What is the lesson? What is it that I need to learn as a result of whatever it is that you are experiencing that is outside your scope of power? It's outside your field of awareness.
And then isn't that the challenge? I know I've said that before too, is having that awareness, being aware of that I create everything that happens around me. You know, but it's understanding that I can have somewhat of control what's going on in my life. But like you said too, if it's an unconscious thing or it's a karmic thing, then that's where the challenge comes.
Yeah, and I think that's where the practice of Kriya Yoga also comes in. Because you can always start to change how you think and how you feel about what's going on that maybe initially might seem unpleasant. But when you start to maybe unravel that or start to analyze it and start to look for some meaning and purpose behind it, then of course you can use that as an opportunity, which is, I think, one of the reasons why in Chinese the word crisis has two meanings. One is danger and trouble, and the other is opportunity.
Well, we're going to pause right there to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.kriyayoga.com. IPDtransform.com. Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, early in the program, you had mentioned Mercury. So how can we learn from Mercury as it relates to any of the astrological signs and or the houses?
Well, Mercury in this particular new moon is a pretty significant planet in that, like I had said, I mean, it is the fulcrum of that T-square. And Mercury is in Capricorn. So it is squaring Uranus, which is in Aries, and Jupiter, which is in Libra. And so you've got this cardinal T-square. And T-squares are really great motivators because it's what Kriyananda used to call the ouch effect. Nothing will get you off of a couch quicker than if you sit on a tack. And so when life kind of brings us things that are uncomfortable or even to some degree traumatic, it can be a great motivator. And especially if you are prepared for that. And Capricorn, really, when Mercury is in Capricorn, I think it does bring a certain degree of clarity and analytical thinking, you know, because Mercury is your conscious mind. And it really grounds us because it really puts our focus on, just like kind of like what we're talking about, being aware of your surroundings, being perceptive, taking data in through your senses. And then being Mercury, that gives us a way to organize that information, categorize it, systemize it, so that we can catalog it. And that means that it's retrievable, that we can actually call upon it, use it. And this particular Mercury is in the fifth house. So it's going to pull us into the realms of maintenance, health. So it's a great time maybe for us collectively to think about how we're nurturing ourselves, how we're taking care of ourselves, the foods we eat, and the thoughts that we think. And it also has a lot to do with work and service. So maybe like what we are actually doing in the world, and maybe getting a sense of not just my individual talent, but then what is my collective.
I think that statement you just said right there, I think, is challenging for a lot of people, is to try to figure that out. What is the collective purpose? How do we go about doing that? I mean, is this something that we can we answer that question based on the people that we surround ourselves with? You know, what is around us that I can use as a tool to figure that out?
Yeah, and also I think this Mercury is sextile Neptune, which kind of brings you into trying to look at life from that more inclusive point of identification, so that kind of, again, gets us out of ourselves, just seeing ourselves as a separate entity and starting to see that we're an intricate part of something bigger. And it is really from that perspective that you really start to see where you fit into this master plan. But again, a lot of this information really doesn't come to us unless we initiate our development, unless we join with the life force. that this process in development where we start to grow psychologically and spiritually is really where it happens. It isn't going to happen as a result of these transits. The transits are just the energy that's available to you at a given time. It doesn't have much bearing on your level of consciousness or your degree of awareness. It doesn't really have much bearing on what it is that we are desiring at this moment.
And isn't that what we always talk about is desire? What do we desire? It seems like it always comes down to a couple of things. What do we desire and how do we think?
Yeah. And I think, again, coming back to the new moon, Mercury conjunct Pluto. So Pluto really on a deep level is transformation. It, on a very basic fundamental level, it's preservation and survival. It's power. But when you bridle that and you harness that power, then it gives you leverage. And transformation really, in the true sense of the word, comes when you make this internal connection. That you're grabbing something outside yourself that is unchanging. And again, if we desire this void or this nothing, we become spirit. And that initiates this progressive cycle. That's what starts to change our level of consciousness, our degree of awareness. But like you were saying, if we are desiring particles or waves, then we're stuck in a regressive pattern. There really isn't any growth. There's a lot of guilt, shame, anger, resentment, blame, emptiness, and boredom because we're in the realms of suffering and decay.
You know, listening to you, talking about making this connection, and every time I hear you say things like that, I feel that, speaking for myself, is that I never feel like I'm alone. You know, when you have this feeling that there's something else outside of us that's this wondrous energy to tap into, it's almost like wrapping yourself in the softest, most comfortable blanket that you have. You know, it is kind of, like I said, I never feel like I'm alone. I'm a part of something that's much bigger.
Yeah, I think that's the big paradox with this spiritual perspective is that we're never alone and yet we're always alone. That's the whole thing is God being one, this infinite supreme being, becomes all of creation for its own amusement. So we're looking through this tiny little keyhole and we're identifying with this small portion of who we really are. And I think, again, coming back to the new moon, this particular new moon is going to have Venus in Pisces, which is, that's not only a very strong Venus, because Venus is exalted in Pisces, but it's also the whole thing of Venus is the principle of personal interest. And it is conjunct Mars, which is personal desire. So now you have Mars and Venus in Pisces. So it really gives us a real great opportunity for us to start to desire this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And Venus is in the seventh house, which is the house of relationship, partnership, is the house of the other. So again, using what surrounds us as a platform to step off of with regard to trying to figure out what is it going to look like when I desire nothing.
When you talk about the seventh house and you talk about relationships, are you talking not only of like a physical relationship, like the people in your family or the people you live with or working, but does it also mean the relationship that you may have or are working towards a relationship with spirit?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, spirit should be your primary relationship. It should be the most prominent thing in your life, and everything else is secondary. And of course, when we do that, then the panel's wired.
So does that relate to all the other houses too? Like you talked about the house of maintenance. Does that also relate to, again, not just the physical part of it, but also maintaining our spiritual self, you know, doing some cleanup, doing the, you know, spring clean on our maintenance on that house as it relates to spirit?
Well, maintaining your relationship with spirit, constantly turning to what you need, your number one need as a symbol that produces the feeling that I'm happy, I'm special, I'm good enough, and not falling back into looking for external reinforcement, things that are visible and tangible, things from the outside world. And that's why the Aquarian influence, I think, is really helpful in this new moon. Again, to try and give us that sense of self-reliance and independence that we need in order to become a whole person.
Very, very interesting to look at that, those houses, with that kind of perspective, to be able to look at that and relate everything to your relationship to spirit. I think a lot of people use the astrological information for their physical bodies, their external workings that's going around themselves, and not towards that spirit. Like they don't make the right hand turn towards spirit. Everything is all about what's going on in my physical world.
Well, I think what a lot of people use astrology for is more as a means of justifying themselves for being stuck in this regressive pattern. And it kind of offers them a little bit of relief because on some level they feel like, well, I'm not alone. And that only gets you so far. Whereas when you're using it in the way that we're talking about, is kind of like a map to try and give us these opportunities for us to jump off and to get connected to something that's more reliable and more dependable than what it is that we have incarnated with and we come in looking for, which is basically particles or waves, duality, fear and limitation.
And I think it's important too to, you know, start taking that responsibility and not using the astrological signs or your horoscope as an excuse for why things are going on in your life too. As we said earlier, we're the co-creators, we're doing everything. So I think at this time, it's going to start to close down our program. So listeners out there, please visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. You can post comments there as well. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming. Swami does enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. I believe we'll be talking about Diana. And so, Swami, any other comments you'd like to make about today's show?
Well, I would like to wish everybody good luck in their new beginning on this new moon, and I think even reflecting on what's happened in our country, that we have the beginnings of a new president during this time, which I think could be pretty significant. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.